This is Erin.
And this is Jessica.
This is episode 92 of the Double Knit Podcast.
Wow.
I know.
We're getting up there.
Almost.
We're
going
to have to 100. Plot something. Yeah.
So we have a special guest who I will announce in a minute. But first, I'm going to talk about the Spring Clean Your Queue along, which is still happening. And you have till the end of June to post your projects. Yeah, that is it, pretty much. I kind of abandoned my knitting. I started something new because I couldn't handle that. So
it's too complicated. That twisted flower.
Twisted flowers. Yeah.
Okay. That's a toughie.
I'll just jump into that.
Okay.
Well, first, we have Andy Satterlund with us.
Hello. Sitting here quietly.
Yes. At the end of the last episode, kind of did like a teaser, like, I'm not going to tell you who it is. Partly because you weren't confirmed yet, but Marley.
And if you decided you couldn't come, the guest was going to be like Noah or the cat.
The cat's on every episode.
Yeah, that's true.
So Andy's going to talk about a interesting knit along sew along thing that's happening in a few minutes. But Jessica and I are going to talk about our knitting stuff, and you can. What are you knitting?
Work stuff that I can't talk about.
Which is why I skipped her and not being here. So, the Twisted Flower socks that I started for the spring clean thing got kind of abandoned.
Too much thinking.
Yeah, a lot. A lot too much thinking.
Yeah.
So I started Happy Street by Vera Valamaki.
I don't think I know that one.
It's like Color Affection. It's like a three color. And it's a crescent shape, and it has short rows and wide stripes.
Fun.
I really like that ugly yellow you have.
That's Hazelnut's Piquant Light in the lichen color.
I haven't heard of that.
Yeah. And then is this Queen of the Night?
This is Queen of the Night.
Okay, and then nickel?
And then the gray. No, the gray is colorful yarn and steel, which I got when I was in Kansas, like...
A billion years ago.
4 years ago, because Audrey was 9 months old. So it's been hanging out in my stash for a while. So I just started it on... Saturday night, and it's
fun.
Awesome. I love it. It's just garter stitch.
Yeah.
And Sonia actually gave me the pattern
fun.
Last fall. So it's like all stuff I already had.
Yeah.
And the fine thing. It was awesome.
That was good.
What else am I making? Ran out of yarn on my water lily top.
Oh, boo.
I'm like halfway through the front yoke, and I have another skein coming to me.
Yarn you're using for it?
Valley Yarn Strawlmont, which is a wool silk fingering weight. That is from Pom Pom Quarterly from the spring issue, and it's the cover sweater. And I made the body 3 inches longer because it was only like 11 and 3/4 inches long
me.
And
enough.
I'm 5'9", so this is going to be like
belly tee. Woo!
I know, super attractive, right? I was just thinking about my leggings post.
I know. I was thinking about it, too. Erin and I were being old ladies complaining about the way kids dress these days on Facebook today.
I said pants weren't leggings weren't pants, and to wear appropriate over-the-butt coverage tops and underwear, please.
And I agreed and also pointed out that shorts should be long enough to cover the butt cheeks. Because I'm seeing...
That's debatable.
I'm sorry. It's already it's only 65 degrees out. Yeah. And I'm seeing way too much of people already. And it's like, if people are getting this naked when it's only 65 degrees out, what's going to happen when it's like 86?
Ugliness.
It's going to be, it's just going to be full on nude at that point, I think.
And then right after I posted that, I saw some lady wearing skin tone leggings. Yeah. And I was like, it looks like you're naked. Why are you doing that? Anyway, that's how I feel about leggings.
Yes, sorry.
Please
don't write to us complaining that you enjoy your leggings.
Just don't wear them in public. That's all I'm asking.
Or just cover everything.
So I didn't want a crop top.
Yes.
The point of that story.
I didn't even remember where we started on that.
I didn't want a crop top, so I made it 3 inches longer, and I thought I might run out of yarn, so...
And then you did.
And then I did.
Yeah.
Not a surprise. So I ordered more. It probably won't match my dial-up, but that's okay. And I am knitting the Tayberry hat by Cerulea.
Yeah.
I knit the sample for that.
Right.
This is reminding me of the last podcast when I also re-knit a sample that I had knit for her, for Audrey.
So are you doing it in the Kansi?
Yeah, in the exact same colors, because she gave me the extra.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So I needed something really simple to knit movie night on Friday, and that was on top, and I didn't have to wind it. And I was like, this is good, I'll take this.
And it's a slip stitch pattern?
Yeah, it's a two-color slip stitch. It's like a star stitch. Mm-hmm. Cool. Where you alternate the colors that you slip. Mm-hmm. So it makes like little clusters of orange or like this purpley red.
And that's a free pattern. It's a free pattern. Cassell's website.
Yeah. And I'm swatching for, is it Myrna?
Myrna. Myrna Loy.
Yeah. I'm swatching for that out of some Cascade 220 and a bright, bright green to go with my dress. And I finished my sample that I was knitting last time. That's the only thing I finished. Okay. And it's not living with me anymore. It's on its way to the East Coast.
Good.
With the owner. Yay! So I woke up Saturday and I was like, oh my god, I can knit whatever I want.
Ooh, that's always an exciting feeling.
Yeah, it was super exciting.
Let's see. So I knit like one sleeve on that baby cardi I was knitting last time.
The gold and purple one?
Yeah, the crazy color one. And so I still need another, oh, mine's way more gold than that, though. Mine's like pumpkin-y and rusty.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it's crazy. Anyway, so I knit like one sleeve and I got to do the other one. And then right now I'm working on my shoulder, which I'm just getting to the end of the yoke chart, and not a moment too soon because I need to stop working on things that are patterned on both sides. Because I've realized the real issue is just that I can't read my work on the wrong side. You know, I have to keep stopping and looking where I am.
You have to flip it over.
Yeah. It's just, or if my attention drifts, like, I have to suddenly, like, reorient myself. And it's, anyway, I'll be happy when I'm not working on something that's charted on both sides. But so this, I've just got a little bit to go on the yoke, and then, there's, like, an I-cord edging that goes all the way around, so that's going to take, you know, a week and a half to do. No, not that long, but
anyway. I don't know. You might be surprised. I knit, I think it's Blaven by Kate Davies, it's got an I-cord all around. Yeah. I was like, this is going to take forever. But then, I got in, like, the rhythm of it, and it wasn't that bad.
Oh, I've done it. I mean, the last sweater I knit was Ravi, and that had the I-cord edging all the way around, too. It just, you know, it's a fair bit. It's a lot slower than just binding off.
Yes. You
know? But faster than knitting a whole button band.
That's true. Yeah. Well, you do the, it's exactly the same edging as on Ravi, where you do the I-cord edging, like applied I-cord, and then you skip spaces for hidden buttonholes, mm-hmm. which I also did on my Lois cardigan too, which I love that, because I never button it, or when I do, it's an elegant finish. I like it. I love the way it looks. It just takes a lot longer than one thinks it would. And then I've been working on my brickless, and I think I'm on the final repeat on that. I'll have to see how much yarn I have left when I'm done. So there's like three sections, and then you knit one more of the netting section at the very end. Or rather, there's five sections. Each section has three patterns. Then on the very last one, you just do the first pattern. But I think I'll have to gauge how much yarn I have when I'm done. But they keep getting bigger, so it'll be kind of a guesstimate. And I was looking on Ravelry, and some people just kept knitting the netting until they ran out, which I think I might just go with that.
Because you're using hazelnuts, the DK, right?
Yeah, I'm using Lively DK, and the pattern calls for one skein of Yowza, but I know people had a lot left over. So my yarn, my two skeins, is almost the same yardage as the skein of Yowza, so I know I have enough to do. I mean, and I've already done one full repeat more than is called for in the pattern, but I'll just have to see how much I've got room for after that. I also knit a couple of scrap hats in Shetland DK while going to the movies over Memorial Day weekend. And I just fold them today. I just gave them a soak and then ran them through the dryer to get them all fluffed up. And they're really, really fluffy and nice. And those will probably just... I have to start a big charity pile. And then the other thing I finished, this was a major accomplishment, is I finished a project that I've been working on for the shop for months. Like months, and probably like 8 months. And it is just one of those little... stripey cowls. It's a tube that you do a provisional cast on and knit a million stripes and graft at the end. And I did it with two colors of Rowan Alpaca Color, which is like a really soft gradient. I did it in like a rusty brown and a excuse me, and kind of a muted red. And so they both shade really subtly, and then I did it in like varying width stripes around. So I finally finished that. That's drawing at home. And that's everything I've been working on. Thank you.
It takes you forever to finish shop projects.
I knit like 4 rows a week. Actually, I got a ton of knitting done on it during the LYS tour because I wasn't doing my usual like office work, so I was just out front, and it's so easy to knit. I could like keep the yarn in my pocket and just walk around the shop. Got a lot of comments on that, like, look at you, look, oh, you don't even have to look at your knitting, and you know, all the usual mm-hmm. stuff you get when you knit in public.
Which is weird, though, because you're knitting in public with other knitters.
I know, but not everybody is the same skill level, but also some people just, I mean, I know some really skillful knitters who can't
look away
from their knitting. Yeah. Like, they have to look at the stitches, they just don't have that tactile sense for it.
They watch movies.
I know. Well, I don't know. But anyway, so that's all done, and that's everything I'm working on right now.
All right. So like I said, we're here with Andy Satterland of Untangling Knots, and she has an exciting kind of knit-along to talk about.
Yeah, we're calling it an outfit-along, and I'm collaborating with a sewing blogger I'm friends with, Lauren from ladybird.com, and
totally awesome.
Yes. you sew a piece and you knit a piece that are meant to go together so you make a complete outfit. And that's basically the gist of it.
Yeah. And, I mean, you guys are both doing the same pieces, right? Or actually, are all three? Are you also, Erin, doing the same ones?
Yeah, I'm doing the suggested patterns. So why don't you talk about the suggested patterns?
So we originally wanted it to be, like, knit any piece and sew any piece you want to, because we wanted people to actually make outfits they wear, and not everyone wears tweed dresses and crop cardigans like we do. but that makes it a little less beginner friendly, so we picked 2 official patterns, a sweater that I designed, and Lauren picked out a dress she had sewn before so she could kind of plan the posts out a little better. And it's my cardigan pattern is called Myrna, and it's a short sleeved cropped cardigan. And I've already started doing posts, like, kind of walking through the different pieces, because it's a seamless construction, and that can be a little overwhelming for some people. And Lauren's doing Simplicity 1803, and she's already started posting about, like, picking out the right fabric for it and drape and stuff, so we have our official patterns that we're giving a little more guidance on, but still open to...
Yeah, make a lot of people are knitting different things. They're, like, knitting other patterns of yours, or sewing... patterns that they already own or have knit, like, sewn before or whatever. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, I'm really...
And a ton of people are doing it.
I know. I was so happy to see it take off, because I was a little worried that we get people who, like, didn't knit but wanted to participate, or didn't sew but wanted to participate. But so far, everyone's kind of been game for trying to make 2 pieces. Yeah.
That's good. So, your original one was in Miss Babs, and then you're knitting along with another one to do another sweater as well?
Yeah, my second sweater is also in Miss Babs Yowza.
Oh, okay.
So.
In a different color.
In a different color, yes. I don't know, I just liked working with that yarn, so mm-hmm. I went for it a second time.
And you got that sweater out of, like, 1 skein, right?
Yeah. That was my goal. Her friend Monica brought me back that skein from when she went to Rhinebeck, and I was looking at the yardage, and I was like, I bet I could do a sweater using 1 skein of this. So that was my goal when I designed it. And the first 3 sizes, I think, you can knit with 1 skein of Yowza, which is...
That's pretty awesome. Kind of
novel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get a whole sweater out of 1 skein.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Erin, typical overachieving Erin.
Hey.
Already sewn your dress...
Mostly. Okay, let me preface this. I haven't talked about sewing a lot on the podcast because it's mostly about knitting. But my mom taught me to sew when I was 12. And the first thing I sewed was, like, a flapper Halloween costume out of, like, this slippery, like, satiny red polka dot fabric and fringe, which is a pain in the butt to sew on straight.
Yeah.
And there were lots of fights and tears. Because you shouldn't let your parents teach you how to do things like knit or sew.
I agree.
That's true. But I sewed forever. I sewed, like, all through high school and college, and then when I picked up knitting, and when I had Audrey, like, it totally just kind of fell by the wayside, mm-hmm. and I didn't do it. I, like, pulled it out once in a while to, like, fix things, but I, like, know how to sew. I took sewing in high school, like, with, like, a whole year of it. With
well, and Ken, you worked at a fabric store, too, right?
Yeah, I worked at Beverly's, which is, like, a smaller big box store in California. Mm-hmm. It's a chain.
Do you know Beverly's?
Yeah.
That was, like, my main craft store growing up.
Yeah, so they, I think the one I worked at is, like, their northernmost one, and it's a mostly quilting fabric, but they have flat folds and stuff, like a flat fold table that had, like, garment stuff and mm-hmm. a limited amount of garment fabric. But, yeah. So I know how to read a pattern and, like, put pieces together to make clothing. So it's not like I'm coming at it from a complete beginner level.
Yeah.
But
well, I know how to put together a pattern. I just always get stuck in the thinking about it phase of sewing because I know I have to alter everything to fit me. Because I've never been able to just sew a pattern right out of the package and have it fit me properly. Like, you know, it's like, I mean, the same for me with everything off the rack, too. If it mm-hmm. fits my bust, it doesn't fit me anywhere else. And if it fits me everywhere else, it's too tight in the bust. And I never learned how to. And also, I'm a total, like, hack novice, not really a real sewer. So I never really learned how to do those adjustments. But, like, I've sort of, like, I kind of obsessively study it and think about it. But I always stop before I get started because I'm just, like, disappointed in advance thinking about, like, oh, it's gonna get all messed up
and way to tackle that.
Yeah,
I know. Disappointed in advance.
I am. I
but
do
think
I
think about, like, your early knitting projects. Were they all janky? Because mine were. And
yeah,
that's how I kind of I need to, like, stop being like, the, like, early sewing projects are going to be perfect, like,
yeah,
because my early knitting projects,
but it's, yeah. It's hard though when you're
already skilled at one thing.
Yeah, and also, I mean, I don't want to pull out the, like, when you're my age, but, I mean, you know, I think there's definitely, I mean, something I've certainly noticed teaching knitting to adults is that adults are not used to
failure.
Being, well, or just being incompetent at things, you know? Like, we go through our lives generally, like, we know how to drive our car. We're not encountering brand new skills all day long. Most of what you do as an adult as you go through your life is stuff that you already know how to do. And so it's still you, and you're not accustomed then to, you know, encountering new things. So it feels like failure when you get to something where you're like, I don't know what this is. I don't know how to do this, because you forget what that, I mean, when you're a kid, you're like, 90% of what you encounter over the course of the day is like, I didn't know how to do that, but I'll learn how. But I think, I mean, I can, speaking for myself and for a lot of the adults I've encountered in my life, I think that's something that we lose as we get older, and that, yeah, I think I get, like, really, like, insecure. Like, I don't want to mess up. I don't want to be, like, that person who, like, took $40 worth of fabric and totally ruined it. And the other thing, too, with knitting, it's, like, whenever I have customers who are getting, like, all panicky about, like, oh, no, what if I don't do it right? It's, like, you can just take it out and do it again. I mean, it's not like it's fun
to
have to.
You can do that with sewing, too, up to a point.
Yeah,
really,
I was talking to the woman cutting my fabric at Pacific Fabrics, and she basically said what I always say to, like, knitters. I'm just like, try it. You can usually fix whatever you've done wrong.
Yeah.
And that's what she told me, and I was like, that's what I tell people.
But having someone who's kind of a professional in what they're doing tell you that, like, yeah, makes it more okay or something.
Yeah.
So Andy, you're not like an advanced sewer. So
no.
Why don't you talk a little bit about, like, the stuff you've sewed? So maybe people who are, like, on the fence about joining might feel a little bit better. Since you're one of the hosts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of a novice sewer, I'd say. That was partially why I wanted to do this project, and I brought Lauren on board because she can answer a lot of the questions that I can't, but people use knit-alongs to sort of motivate them to, like, stretch their skills, and I wanted to use this to stretch my sewing skills a little bit. But I started sewing when I was in grade school. My mom sewed a lot, but I didn't like it when she tried to teach me how to sew. So, like, she showed me how to use the sewing machine, and then we argued a lot, and that was that.
Yep.
That and, never happened.
I did a lot of, like, the, like, t-shirt reconstruction thing. When, you, like that was, like, the cool thing. Yeah. A lot of, like, Goodwill finds that I'd sew to fit me. So I sewed a lot with knits, actually. Like, people are like, they're so hard. And I'm like, that's what I learned on. But then I started to try to do pattern stuff. And if you go to, like, the first page ever on my blog, there's, like, this blouse I sewed. It's, like, a white polka dot blouse. And it just is a hot mess. And after I sewed that, I was just like, I'm done. And I didn't sew anything that wasn't made out of rectangles or circles for... years. And then last fall I decided to try sewing a dress again, and that is also a little weird, but it's wearable and that's what counts, because like off the rack clothing doesn't fit me perfectly, so it's not like the stuff I made myself is that much worse or anything. So yeah, that's where my sewing skills are. I make a lot of circle skirts and gathered skirts, because circles and rectangles are hard to screw up.
You just made that cute peasant blouse, too.
Oh, yeah.
That we're wearing on Friday.
But that's like a raglan with elastic, and that's also hard to screw up.
See, I made, I tried to do the, well, I talked with Annie about this at night. I made the Colette Sorbetto top, and once I, you know, I tried it, put it together and realized no, it was going to be too snug in the bust, and then started researching a little bit more about doing a full bust adjustment and realized that it didn't, like, I can't take it apart and rejigger it, like, there's just not enough fabric there. And so now that I've already cut it,
slash your pattern, and
yeah, and I've tried it a little bit, but I didn't really think I had it right. I kind of wanted to do a consultation with Amy, because I know she does a lot.
Who's also participating.
Yeah. Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, I talked her into it yesterday.
She's
yeah.
an amazing seamstress. Yeah. She makes, like, tons of her own clothing, and she makes her own jeans. Like, she makes her own jeans, and when she tells people that she made them, nobody believes her.
Yeah.
Because
they look really good.
They're great. Well, she's a total perfectionist.
Yeah, true.
And I guess that's the other reason I've always felt like, I can't remember if I told you this story before, like, long before I had kids years ago, I was talking to, like, a regional manager at the company where I was working, who had said something in passing about, like, making all of her kids' clothes. And I was saying, God, you know, I never really had much luck with sewing. Like, I just don't, like, get, you know, things cut out, like, just perfectly. And I was like, do you have any advice about what, you know, how to do it better? And she was like, just do it better. Like, she was so disgusted with me that, like, that was my problem. I realized, like, maybe I don't have the right personality to be a good seamstress.
My, like, mom is so detail oriented and, like, weird. She's like, when you cut it, I was taking this sewing class. My mom takes, like, advanced, like, weekend retreat sewing class kind of things, and she's like, and they were talking about if you cut it on the outside of the dark line, or in the middle of the dark line, or on the inside of the dark line. I had never thought about that. I was like, I'm just happy when I cut on the line, like, that's...
For the record, I cut just outside the line. Just outside.
Well, now my mom's taking another class, and her realization is it doesn't matter where you cut on the line as long as you have the seam, like, in the right spot. So now she is a little less persnickety about cutting the line, and now marks all of her seam allowances.
Yeah, like, that was the thing. Actually, I took a craftsy class. I mean, I watched. I didn't actually do the project. This is what I mean. It's like, I'm always studying sewing, but I'm not actually doing it.
But that's like, you just need to practice.
I know. Yeah. But so I did the one on the couture dress with Susan Kalji from Threads. And her technique, I kind of loved, is that she has you, like, mark out the pattern pieces and then cut it however you want. Cut it huge. Like, just give yourself enormous seam allowances, because then you've got room. I mean, when you're working on your muslin, then you've got room to play with and move things around, but you've got your stitching line marked out, and the outside line is totally irrelevant. You know, you can leave yourself 2.5 inches of seam allowance if you feel like it. Yep. It doesn't need to be neat. And then I was like, ooh. But now okay, here's my question. Anyone else can jump in too. How do you mark your pattern? Because I remember we had this conversation at knitting when you were like, forget it. I just, you know, just. But
like
I
marking darts and stuff.
Well, yeah, like if you don't want to cut out the whole pattern, I mean, cut out the pieces, like in case you wanted to make other sizes, or you just want to mark the pattern on your fabric, what do you use to mark it?
In the past, I've traced it out on freezer paper.
Yeah, I transfer my pattern over if I want to do multiple sizes. And then I try using like the like transfer dots, but I always just seem to make a chalky mess. So I take an old school and use Tailor Tacks.
Oh yeah, you can do the non-wax ones with the flat edge roller, but they don't.
They're chalky. And,
like, yeah, I tried the chalky ones. I tried the waxy ones. I like can't get anything.
So for like darts, I will take the little colored pencils, sewing pencils, and mark the dots for the darts, and then take just a straight edge and mark the lines through the dots with the same pencil.
Oh, wait, how do you trace your pattern onto freezer paper? I'm having a visual problem. Like,
if
you put the freezer paper over the pattern,
so it depends on if you have a tissue pattern or if you have like the thick ones, like the books where the fold out patterns. Mm-hmm. You take the freezer paper and you put it over, and you just.
I'm just having a hard time visualizing being able to see through freezer paper onto a.
It's thicker than tissue paper, but it's easy to see.
Okay.
You can also like put it on a window and trace it that way.
Yeah, I use
like a giant light box.
Not construction paper, but like slightly heavier paper, and then the little wheel with like spikies, and I run over all the lines, and then it creates an indent like on my paper, and then I just take a ruler, the weird little curly ruler find that and then I just like draw all the lines over the dotted lines.
I just have to try. I'm just scared
that's
of messing
what sewing
up.
Bloggers are good for.
Yeah.
A lot of them who are like really into sewing have like tutorials on how to do stuff like that, so
I'm also still like buy books are great. That's what
I have lots of books. Stacks of them. They're all just sitting by my bed waiting for me to make something.
Okay, now that we've talked a ton about this.
Okay,
sewing,
so we talk about movies because we've actually all seen
Well,
this.
let's talk about...
details on the knit along?
Yes. So do you want to say your blog and Lauren's blog again for people who want to like follow along on your blogs?
My blog is untangling-knots.com, and that's where we'll... all the posts on the cardigan will be. And Lauren's blog is ladybird.com, and that's ladybird with two L's.
And you can, basically knit anything and sew anything.
As long as they're both garments, and they have to make completely
outfit.
Oh,
I didn't say what I was going to make. Because I have to do I'm doing a custom fit sweater for the shop.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the 3/4 length sleeve open front cardigan. So, I'm just going to sort of reverse into it and say that's my sweater. And I think I don't know, I have a couple of dress patterns. I might do the dress from that Craftsy class, which is, I don't remember the number off the top of my head, but it's a pretty simple Vogue fitted dress. Or I also bought a Simplicity pattern, which I think is 1419, which is a Lisette kind of vintage style, like 50s style dress, that looks like I probably won't have to alter it a ton for it to fit, I hope. Fingers crossed.
And I'm doing Myrna, and I'm doing the Simplicity 1803, which is almost done. Shh. And what's the time frame?
You have until July 31st to finish both pieces and make your complete outfit. So that's 2 months, which I think it's doable, because most of the sewing can be done in a weekend. And then
a day
if your name is Erin.
Someone else on the thread though
finished their cardigan.
Well, also finished the dress too, because I was like, I'm gonna sew all my dress too. So why don't you say your Ravelry group, and because there's a thread on your Ravelry
group.
Yeah,
the Ravelry group's just called Untangling Knots after my website, and there's a thread where there's a bunch of chit-chat, and people are sharing their fabric and yarn and shoes to go with their final outfit. I love all the people who are like already have their shoes picked out, because it's just great. It makes me wish I like had... Because my fabric is black, orange and red, and I already have a bunch of like black shoes and red shoes, but I'm like, oh, I wish it was something like crazier, because then I could go find shoes to go in the outfit. But no, just my usual.
And the hashtag for it.
The hashtag is OAL2014.
Yeah. And you can, there are people putting stuff on Instagram.
There are a lot of people participating who aren't posting in the Ravelry thread, but are, like, tagging things on Instagram or
Twitter. And you can also Twitter. Like, Google search for it, too.
Yeah. And I'll post links in the show notes for stuff.
Yeah. So you can find all that information there. I hope that people join in. I'm super excited about it. I know that a lot of people do sewing in the summer because they don't knit as much because it's hot. Really warm in other places, not here. But I think the patterns, especially if you're following along on your blog and Lauren's blog, are going to be really easy to follow. So if you're a novice sewer or sweater knitter, it's going to be really helpful to walk you through all the steps, and you'll have like a whole outfit tour at the end.
Yeah.
Yay. It's awesome. And Andy's going to stick around and talk movies with us.
Yes.
So we're going to skip to that.
Because we all saw Godzilla.
Yes.
And I've discussed it a bit with both Aaron and Andy separately. And we're of differing opinions on the film. So Aaron, why don't you start off? What did you think of Godzilla? Well,
okay, so I like this director. He directed Monsters.
So good.
So good. And on Netflix, if you haven't seen it, you should watch it because it's really good.
I can't believe how low budget that movie is, too.
Yeah.
It's made for, with like $500,000. It's a really low budget movie for what it is.
And I talked about it on the podcast before, but it's a good movie and it's like indie, low budget, but very, very good. When Jessica told me that was the same director as did Godzilla, I was like, I need to watch that. So Noah and I went and watched it, like, in the theater before Audrey came home from my mom's, like, the last night before she came home. And I really liked it. That was really good. Lots of smashing, which is what Godzilla is for, but...
Yeah.
I feel like it felt kind of similar in certain ways to Monsters. A lot of kind of quiet, like, ambiance, like, the scene. Like, they just have the same kind of ambiance. They have the same kind of feeling to them that Monsters had, even though it's, like, an established kind of franchise.
Yeah. I also enjoyed it, but I just like monster movies a lot, and even terrible monster movies I get a kick out of. But I thought it was... It was really enjoyable. It was a little long for me, but that was about it. And monsters use this thing where you only see like bits and pieces most of the time of the creatures, and it just makes them feel like more massive and real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how often are you really, if there was a real Godzilla, are you gonna be far enough away to see like full shot of Godzilla? So
yeah.
I liked the way it kind of like teased like you with bits and pieces.
Foot or like part of the face.
Or just like the eye.
Yeah.
I
agree.
So I was alright. I was done in, I think, by my expectations. Like I had read, I think I even said on the last podcast that I'd been hearing that this was a really good Godzilla, a good version of it. And I just didn't like it. I thought it was really long. It was so serious. Like it was just I felt like it was about 2 hours of people staring into the distance with a really concerned look on their face. Like, it just was, like, nothing but, like, the same tone through the whole film. Like, and I don't know. I mean, and so many moments were, like, so many WTF moments were, like, halfway through the film, I'm, like, throwing my hands in the air and looking at Wes, like, what? How does that work?
It's a monster movie.
I know, but it's not, it wasn't the monster parts that actually I was... like throwing my hands up in the air, like it was things like, I don't want to give anything away, but like I was making a joke last night about like how the guy, you know, gets pulled into this regiment, this like, you know, military regiment, and they just happen to have a uniform with like his job description on it and a photo of his family in the pocket. Like, do they give those out to everybody? Like, here's your uniform. Like, you know, there's a monster destroying the city right now and you have like 10 minutes to disarm a nuclear device. But here's your uniform with your family's photo in the pocket. Like, just stuff like that. Or the fact that in the aftermath of, like, of everything happening, the moment of family reunion in a, like, a crowded sports arena. And I was saying, Andy, like, I can't find my family in a movie theater. Like, how are you going to, like, after, like, a huge traumatic event, like, these people all walk into a sports arena and find their missing loved ones like that? Like, I was just like, come on.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Nitpicky stuff. That's so nitpicky.
But it was just stuff like that. I don't know. I just felt stupid. I don't know. I just didn't enjoy it.
Also,
okay.
I'm cranky. I don't know if they played this preview at the theaters you guys went to, but the Hurricane movie.
Oh, my God. Know. That looks so bad.
I'm still going to see it. It's like a bunch of hurricanes happen.
It's called, Into the storm.
Okay, yeah, it did. And I was like with my friend, like, and I leaned over, and I was like, "Is this movie?
Is this Sharknado?"
Yeah. I was like, "Is this movie came out? Like, was it in a can for like 8 years? Because remember when like
Twister?
Yeah, or the one with Jake Gyllenhaal where like the huge that was like such a thing.
Something
day after tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
But that was such a disaster movie.
Oh, do you?
But the big storm ones were just like, so many of them came out all at once. I was like, was this in a can for like 8 years? I know. Where did this come from?
My son was just like, where are the sharks? $3
theater.
Sharknado.
It's a $3 movie.
Okay.
Disasters.
I did not love it. But Annie and I also both saw
X-Men,
which we discussed kind of.
We also had different opinions.
But although I think we both, on the whole, liked it. I liked it a lot. I appreciated that it had a bit more of a sense of humor than X-Men First Class. And I liked it. You know, it was kind of also like, kind of like visiting old friends. Like, they're pulling people in from all over the place. And they're having a lot of fun because there's, like, time travel element to it. So it's, like, they get to play around with, like, 19... I just hit my step goal by swinging my arms and talking.
What was it? Days of Future Past or something?
Yes. Is that what it was? Yeah. Okay. So there's a time travel-ish thing. So the problem,
I know, I'm
though,
a little
is...
annoyed with, like, we time traveled so we don't have to stay consistent with things we've established before. I'm just like, ugh, it's not hard.
I think... Once a film decides to play with time travel, you basically, like, you have to make a choice. Like, I'm not going to think that hard about it, because if you do, like, there's no way you can enjoy the film. Because once you start trying to pick apart any kind of... I don't think there's any time travel story that gets to me.
Though my favorite sort of, like, time travel explanation is... I can't remember what it's called. It came out last summer with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis. And
Looper.
The explanation of time travel was just like, it works. That's it. If you think too hard about it, like, just don't.
Yeah.
And that's what they said in the movie. And I was that's the only way you can explain time travel.
Yeah, they had
my complaint,
Jeff Daniels saying, like, yeah, don't even think about it.
My complaint about time travel in, like, sort of franchise reboots is when they're not consistent before the time travel incident. Like, when they don't keep the characters consistent, or when they know what the Romulans look like, even though they haven't met them yet.
That was not from X-Men, by the way. For those of you following along at home, Andy's not talking about X-Men.
Andy has strong feelings about Star Trek.
She does.
So do I.
I do not. I liked it. I mean, and I also, I'm coming from it, the only stuff I know about X-Men is from seeing the first four movies. And what my kids have told me. So, like, my younger son, like, had many opinions about things about the film that he thought, you know, like, that character shouldn't have done that. That character should have had this, or whatever, you know, like...
I feel like...
It's not for
when
purists.
When it comes to Marvel stuff, there is no real canon. It's just, like, the established, like, this storyline, this is how things are. Because they just, like, go and change their characters anyway. Like, Spider-Man is now, like, a black teenage boy. You can't argue that Spider-Man is like this. You know, those kind of arguments hold water for me.
They're, in the new... We were talking about this last night, like, the new Avengers film they're making. Bringing in some Fantastic Four, including, I think they're using a black actor to play Human Torch, which, like, Human Torch is a... Wait, am I mixing up characters? He's a sibling of, like, he's Sue Storm's brother, right?
I don't read Fantastic Four.
Anyway, I think, like...
But
I think
they were going to have to recast him anyway because it was played by Chris Evans.
Yeah, a long time ago.
And he can't play two parts.
Right. But, you know, so you've got characters in the film who'd be siblings, but anyway. Like, so they're, but I liked it a lot. But I saw another film over Memorial Day weekend. God, Labor Day weekend. Whoops. Memorial Day
time
weekend.
Travel.
Time travel, right. That was totally awesome. It was for SIFF, and I went to a screening of a documentary called I Am Big Bird. That was all about Carol Spinney, who is the puppeteer, who is Big Bird and originated the role and has been playing the role for over 40 years on Sesame Street. He is also Oscar the Grouch. And so I learned a lot of interesting stuff about him as a performer. I didn't think it was like a great documentary, but it was an interesting look inside Sesame Street, which, I mean, I've said before on the podcast, like, I'm a huge Muppet fan. Sesame Street is definitely something that's like really special to me from my childhood and my kids' childhood. I know. But they build it as the director, the filmmakers, and Carol Spinney would be there, plus a special guest. So I was like, oh my God, he's going to bring Oscar the Grouch! Because it's like he can't travel with Big Bird, it's too big. So he comes on stage for the Q&A. He's in his 80s, and he still works... I mean, not as much as he did, but he still works on Sesame Street, and he actually like had to leave before the final screening of the film for SIFF because there was a big celebration for the woman who created Sesame Street. So his wife is holding this little suitcase, and I was just like, oh my God, I'm so excited. And he pulls out Oscar the Grouch, and he does Q&A with Oscar the Grouch, and...
It was terrible, I can
tell. Honestly,
you hated it.
I cannot even express how giddy I was to, like, be in a room with an actual Muppet. Like, childhood dream fulfilled. Like, completely, it was amazing. And I had posted about it, and Crystal, who's sometimes, you know, from Pearly Girls, she went to another screening of it when they were also doing a Q&A. And she said it was pretty magical. I mean, like, there was a lot of tears in that theater. It was also during for the film too, because some of the things they show, like Big Bird singing "It's Not Easy Being Green" during Jim Henson's memorial service, and the Big Bird story on when Mr. Hooper dies on Sesame Street, which for people my age is like seared into our memories as the saddest thing that ever happened. So there was a lot of sniffling and sobbing during the movie, and it was super exciting. Like, I know it sounds stupid, but it was like actually Oscar the Grouch. They've only made a few Oscar the Grouch puppets over the whole life of Sesame Street because they want them to be all cruddy. You know, like, they don't want to keep making new ones, fresh ones. It was amazing. I was totally, anyway. I was like beside myself the entire weekend. Like, I can't believe it. So, chuckle at me if you will.
I will.
It was thrilling. I was very excited. That is all.
So I think that's it. Unless, do you have any other movies you want to talk about?
No.
I've just been watching TV, so nothing exciting. So Andy is offering a giveaway. She's giving away a copy of her pattern, Myrna, to one of our listeners. So as soon as this episode goes live, I will start a thread in the group, and you could say, I don't know, what question should they answer?
Favorite movie!
Andy wants to know your favorite movie. And then I'll have it up for a couple weeks. As soon as this goes live, I'll put an end date on it. Mm-hmm. So check there. You have to be a member of the group to enter. One entry per person. The usual rules apply. Mm-hmm. And Andy will send that to a listener.
Yep.
Yeah.
Actually, right. I hate favorite movie as like a question because I'm always like, just one? Impossible.
Well, my kids always call me out because depending on my mood, I say a different movie. Like, sometimes I'll say Annie Hall, but sometimes I'll say Goodfellas. And they're like, I thought Annie Hall was your favorite movie.
Like, you have, like, a right top now, 10 I'm favorite in a Goodfellas. Movie. Yeah, yeah. A list. You don't have to say one if you feel strongly about them.
Wait, what's your favorite movie, Aaron?
Top 10.
Your top one right now, this minute.
Come back to me.
Okay, what about you?
Stranger Than Fiction is usually.
Oh.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Oh, that's a cool one. Yeah, mine vacillates between Annie Hall usually and Goodfellas.
I really love Hedwig.
Yes, which we talked about extensively last
time. Came to me in a very trying part of it. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. I just love like the music and I love the story. And it was like the first movie I'd seen that was like kind of like that. I mean, yeah. I'd seen Rocky Horror before, but it's totally different.
No, yeah.
That's more Hedwig of like is musical. And this mm-hmm. one's yeah. like, yeah. Although this is Spinal Tap that's up there. As well as 28 Days Later. So depends on the genre for yes, me, I think yeah, more okay. than anything.
28 yeah. Days Later is also up there on my list.
Yeah, I really like it. So if you can't keep yourself to one favorite movie, you can list
we
a
understand.
Few.
We totally yeah. understand.
We feel your pain.
Yeah. So that is it for us. We'll be back in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And do you want to say the usual where they can find
yes.
us?
Yes, you can find show notes at doublenet.net, and you can find us on our Ravelry group at Ravel... Blah, 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 at
on Ravelry.
Podcast fans on Ravelry. Oy.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.
And thanks, Thank you for having me. Being here.
Yeah, it was awesome. Cool. Bye.
Bye.